Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Dream landing spots for Austin Eckler. You ready for this?
Yeah.
How about the Chargers? He's the number one running back in fantasy. He's been unbelievable last year with the Chargers. So, yeah, how about he just stays there? How about they keep him there? He's got a rapport with Justin Herbert. And I know they're going to have a new offense coordinator, but whatever. That's the dream landing spot. Stop it. He's good. They're good. Keep him there.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. NFL free agency rolls on, and so do we. I'm Connor Rogers, alongside Matthew Berry, Jay Croucher, and special guest Denny Carter. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. I love being here with you guys.
You know what? I have questioned everything you just said there, and I'll tell you why. Uh-huh. First off, you said special. I think that's
special.
I think it's generous.
I'm a generous guy.
It's a generous adjective. And guest, like, Denny's one of us. Like, he's not a guest. I mean, like, he's here in person. He's here in person. He is one of us. He is one of our NBC Sports colleagues. He's one of our Roto World colleagues. He's been on the show multiple times before, Connor Rogers. I'm just saying. Look, here's now. The difference is that, like, he hung up the muumuu, got on a train, and came here to be with us in person.
That's right.
Here, you know what I mean? Like, he got rid of the smoking jacket.
I was going to wear it.
You should have.
And I thought about wearing it as a part of the bit.
Right.
I decided against it. I wanted to look somewhat casual along with the cool guys here.
Well, you're in a bar. Like, you don't often see, like, smoking jackets or, like, bathrobes in bars. You know, we're in a bar.
I think you've done a disservice to your own brand. This is like Patrick Mahomes speaking in a deep voice.
I sold out. I think that's what you guys are saying, and I'm ashamed a little bit.
I have to confess, I said special because one of my first NBC memories was I came in to host the show.
Sure.
Matthew Berry was stuck in traffic, and we got Denny on the line.
That's right.
To join the show with me.
This is true.
And I was a little nervous. I was doing a solo show and at my first month at NBC.
It's an awful story as to why I was late too. Without getting too far down that road, like I-95, which is the one highway that you have to take to get to Stamford, Connecticut, which is where we are, where NBC Sports headquarters is. There was a ridiculous tragedy that had shut down 10 miles. Of the freeway. Mm. Like, it wasn't like just like, whatever.
Bumper,
like, yeah,
bumper,
just, yeah. You know, Barry's alarm didn't go off and he was running a little late. Like, I mean, it was just like, I mean, they shut down 10 miles of this massive highway that is literally the only way in or out of the complex. So, Denny hopped on.
I did.
Denny saved me.
Denny saved
That's
you.
That's why he's a special guest.
Shout out to Y95 as well.
Yes. Yes. Connor saved
a wonderful stretch of driving.
Really hell on earth.
We love our 95.
By the way, you know, huge week. We're coming out of a huge week, and we're going to get to free agency news in a minute. But when we actually get to the free agent news, you'll see why we're taking a minute to get there. It's a little snoozy here in week three of free agency. But big weekend for one of us. And that, of course,
is me.
I met Tom Brady this weekend.
That's true.
Connor had some news, too.
No news. Yeah, no news at all. I just got engaged this weekend. Meeting Tom Brady, getting engaged. Thank you, lads. I appreciate it.
Of course.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't top that unless you also got married to Tom Brady. That would top
Which
that.
It sounds right. like you were close.
I have some news. I have some news.
We're breaking
You know, he's single. There is the engagement photo right there.
The dog. Rogers, Archie, the star of the show, though, waiting for the ball to be thrown again. He has no time for the proposal.
And she said yes?
She did say yes. Yeah, okay, it took a second. I was like, so? And she was like, oh, yes. And then I picked up the ball and got back to playing with Archie.
So, two questions. It's a beautiful photo. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm thrilled for you and your fiancé now.
Yes.
Take us through. So, this is on the beach, obviously.
Yeah.
And you're not You're wearing dress shoes on the beach.
Those are boots. But yes, it's cold on the beach.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes.
There you are. The There's the happy couple right yeah. there, Connor.
That was the giveaway. Yeah. She was on to me because I don't do my hair for the beach. I wear a hat right. and a hood over my face when it's, you know, 35 degrees. But I did the hair, so she was on to me. But still a nice surprise, I think. A nice surprise. I guess it's remained to be seen, truly. It actually worked.
Well,
how
long have you guys been together?
Almost 4 years.
Almost 4 years.
Yes, and so, we lived together during the pandemic, so like sign, seal, delivery.
Right,
if
exactly.
If you did that, you're good,
if you,
I think.
If you, I agree. If you guys live together and you survive the pandemic, yeah. then you guys are... you know, you guys are the kind of rock solid relationship like Tom and I have
yes.
that I think will last forever, my new BFF. So quickly take us through it. So like you, like where, take us through this, this engagement here.
Well, the relationship or the proposal? Because this would be a long show. We like
right.
long shows.
Yeah,
but this could be a long
it.
Show.
Where did you guys meet? You know,
well,
I don't know.
Number one, hiding a ring is a disaster, by the way, I learned.
Especially when you live with somebody.
When you live with them. And, like, I had to hide this thing in my home office. And they called me when I was at the combine. And they're like, hey, the ring's done. And I'm like, well, I'm not in town. So you need to hold on to that. And I even lied how long I was at the combine yeah. so they'd hold it longer. Because I wanted nothing to do with this.
Right.
I wore that big, ridiculous sweatshirt so it could just fit in the bagginess of it without giving away. Because I'm a tighter jeans guy. It's not going
sure.
in the jeans pocket. Huge problem.
So is
huge problem.
I get it.
Tighter jeans. Yeah,
you
me and Denny. Yes, exactly.
I understand.
Could have gone with the jacket like Denny, but that would have been a real giveaway on the
right,
beach.
Right, sure.
You know, and I am a casual guy, as you can see. I'm the only man wearing a t-shirt on this set right now.
Well, it was a little weird when you rocked up to the beach with your hair done and wearing makeup. I thought that was
yes, yes. Right. That was probably a giveaway, too, for the photo shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and apparently a photographer.
Yeah, my mom. Yes. Here was the master plot, though. I was able to disguise the getting down on one knee by bending down to pick up my dog's ball to throw it.
Mm.
And after I threw the ball, I just turned around and had the ring in my
wow.
hand.
Look
that's
at good. You.
Very nice.
Quite the move.
There's more creativity in this brain than lets on. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, this was all pre-planned.
It's all just not whey protein up here. I swear to God.
You were going to do that. The
yeah, 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 yeah. I figured that was the best way.
And I'm not right
like a big, I didn't want, there was no one around, which is my ideal.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, why didn't you do it where you live in Hoboken or the city? And I was like, because I didn't want people like, oh, my God, this mm-hmm. proposal. Yeah. It was nice to not have any friends, besides my parents, which is how we got the pictures.
There you go. No, yeah. And your desire not to be seen by people is one of the reasons why you fit in well on this show.
Yes, yes. Yeah, there's no one in the studio. No, it's just us.
Exactly right. Well, listen.
Well, thank you, guys.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Your fiance's name?
What, Kristen.
Like, Kristen.
Yes.
So Connor and Kristen.
Yeah. Fantastic. Kristen also, you know, works in the industry a little different behind the scenes. So she actually could speak to football pretty well. She might be the fourth person on the set. Sorry, Denny. Or maybe, sorry, me.
She's waiting in the wings right now.
Right, yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, no pressure.
A draft
no
guru
pressure.
Herself. Kristen. A draft guru herself.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah. So. Is she available in the next segment?
Yeah.
Sorry, Danny.
So from Death Do Us Part to Miles Sanders.
I guess that's where we kick off. Hey, free agency reaction
right.
to running backs.
Really, really good segue.
Yeah, smooth transition.
You're not the best in the business for nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Raheem Blackshear?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Crowded backfield now in Carolina.
Yeah, yes, that's what they say. So Carolina hands out.
Here's the way you do it, no. So it's now a singular backfield in Connor Rogers' home, obviously, right? You've gone with
we're not a committee.
No longer a committee. No. You've gone to a one-back offense, right?
Kristen's a bell cow.
Exactly.
Yes. She loves that nickname.
Yeah, sure.
I say, hey, you good for 30 touches today? Yes.
Sure.
10 targets? Yes.
2021 Jonathan Tyler.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Right. By the way, I ask my wife that all the time. You're good for about 30 touches today. She knows it's not going to get there. It's going to be 15. It's going to be 15, maybe
Max.
12.
Yeah.
We're going to get down
Deontay
big.
Foreman
and
type situation.
Right. But yeah. But yeah. So from a bell cow apartment or condo or house wherever you live to the Carolina backfield where Miles Sanders joins a crowded backfield.
Yes,
that was a much better segment.
Yes, that's how it's done right there. Miles Sanders hoping to be the workhorse in Carolina. Probably a long shot.
I apologize to America.
He goes from the Eagles to Carolina, 4-year, $25 million. Good money for Miles Sanders.
Good years.
Yes. Denny, let's look at the role here for Miles Sanders. We know this is where a rookie quarterback will be starting mm-hmm. for this team, assuming they're going to take one number one overall. The offensive line, though, on the come up, some young players, an ascending offensive line. How do we project Miles Sanders in this backfield?
The Carolina offensive line was dominant for the second half of last season, and I think unless something changes in the next couple months, they should maintain some stability there. It puts Miles Sanders in a good spot to be an early down back, but there will be obviously a rotation. Not like your marital situation. There
no,
will be,
you know,
he will not be a workhorse in this backfield because you have Chuba Hubbard. You have maybe someone they're going to draft. Miles Sanders has no real usage as a pass catcher over the past couple years. I think he had 23 targets all of last year in the Philadelphia offense. So I think, you know, he'll be a touchdown-dependent RB2 at best. So if you can stomach that in the middle rounds, I guess you go for it. It's not all that inspiring, though.
I have two questions for you, Connor. Neither are about Kristen. So one, are we sure Andy Dalton isn't going to start? And then two, what do you think about now the trend is that, I mean, previously the trend was Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, the rookie sits for a couple of years, then plays, and now it's much more thrown to the wolves. And after, you know, what you saw with Zach Wilson, with the Jets and everything, do you think that trend is right, or do you think there's a chance it's Dalton?
I think it's dependent on who they take, right? Anthony Richardson is a guy that wherever he goes, which is going to be in the top five, he should be awarded the, you know, luxury of sitting because he needs to. He didn't play a lot in college. Mm-hmm. When you look at Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, on the other hand, they're going to be drafted to play because teams are trying to maximize those rookie quarterback contracts. So I think that's what it'll come down to. It'd be a big surprise if this team takes Anthony Richardson. Yep. So it's looking like and it's great to have Dalton there. It's great to have McCown as the quarterback's coach. Really, so much veteran leadership for that young guy, but I think who they take at number one, Stroud or Bryce, will ultimately be the week one starter.
Okay. Yeah, and it also depends on sort of what kind of offense Frank Reich wants. Like last year, they were crazy heavy, right? I mean, they were sixth in total running back carries last year, top 10 in running back red zone carries. Like we would, you know, we were talking during the season, like, is it a Chuba Hubbard week? And is it a Dante Foreman week? And turns out it was both.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, I mean, they were both getting like 17 touches a game last year. So we'll see that now that Steve Wilks is out as interim head coach and now Frank Reich is in, different offensive system. We expect them to, especially if they draft a quarterback number one, that they're going to be at least balanced, if not more pass heavy, especially because we still don't think the defense will be as good. I think it will. I think losing Wilkes is a loss for the Panthers on that side of the ball. Here's the other thing about Miles Sanders, right? And I wrote about this in my Combine column that is available on rotoworld.com, NBCSportsEdge.com. I'm a company man. And you'll see, like, a lot of the stuff that I wrote, a lot of the gossip I heard in bars so far has come true. And one of the points was, hey, Miles Sanders is going to move on. We expect Miles Sanders to move on, which is that ended up happening. And that the talk that I heard from my sources in Philadelphia were one of the reasons why he was part of a committee in Philadelphia is he has trouble staying healthy. Mm-hmm. They don't trust him on third down. They don't like him in a pass-catching role, as Denny alluded to. And, oh, by the way, fumbling is an issue.
Yeah.
And so you think about Deuce Staley being there as a running backs coach who, wherever he's been in the NFL as a coach, he's also employed a multiple running back coach. Frank Wright used – I mean, he had Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis, but still certainly Nyheim Hines got more touches than any of us wanted him to.
Right.
I think the expectation – I feel like Miles Sanders, to your point about being super touchdown dependent, on an offense that, even though it's a good offensive line, I don't think it's going to be – it's not going to be nearly as efficient scoring-wise as the Eagles – and even though they may be run heavy, and I think the jury's still out on whether they will be or not, I don't know that he gets all those carries. I agree. I think they get another, either a veteran or they draft a day three guy.
Yes. His workload will be eaten from both sides. No pass catching role, probably. Maybe he has to split the early down stuff. So where does that leave him? You know, it leaves him a lot of empty carries. Like I said, he's going to have to score a lot of touchdowns to get there for fantasy.
And he has traditionally not been a touchdown scorer. He obviously last year he was, but
before
previous seasons he just hasn't been. And so anyway, it'll be like the fourth year in a row that I'm out on Miles Sanders.
Yeah,
I think with Frank Reich as well, he showed that I think like deep down in Frank Reich's soul, like he wants to pass the ball. And I think the Jonathan Taylor 2021 explosion, that was more an aversion to Carson Wentz mm-hmm. than anything else, because Wentz, they just did not trust him at all. And when Wentz was playing well, they would throw it aggressively. I think back to the Tampa Bay game that year where they went against Tampa's number one run defense and they threw it like 20 times in a row. And it's like, this is what Frank Reich wants to do, whereas like Kyle Shanahan wants to run the ball. So obviously it's going to be difficult with a rookie quarterback, but at the same time, I do think that he will want to pass.
Former NFL quarterback, obviously wants to throw. They're going to have a young guy that they're going to want to develop. Like C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young and or Bryce Young don't get better by handing off. Mm-hmm. Like they need, you know, it's a development year for whoever they pick. And so that guy needs to throw, you know, with the exception of Justin Fields, who was in that disastrous Matt Nagy situation. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, you let your rookie quarterback throw and learn from his mistakes.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence did it year one and they reaped the rewards. Different staff, but year two we saw a much improved Trevor Lawrence. So speaking of the fear of committee, guys, this is an interesting one. Lions signed David Montgomery. We knew they were going to lose Jamal Williams in free agency. Montgomery gets a 3-year, $18 million deal. $11 million is guaranteed. So this is a really nice deal for David Montgomery. Barry, here's my question for you. It feels like now this is yet another summer we're going to enter DeAndre Swift not being one of the guys, as Montgomery is clearly going to significantly eat into his workload.
Dave Montgomery drives me crazy.
And you just want him going.
I do. I do. And that's not going to happen.
Nah.
You know, we wanted free Khalil Herbert, and now it's going to be free DeAndre Swift. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, David Montgomery is going to be underdrafted and be really productive.
Yes.
This year. And he drives me crazy. Again, like, I am not a David Montgomery fan. I'm not a David Montgomery guy. But the fact of the matter is that the Lions have one of the better offensive lines in football. They're going to have one of the better offenses in football. And they do not want DeAndre Swift, because of his health issues, touching the ball more than 10 times a game. He's going to get 8 to 10 high leverage touches, DeAndre Swift. And we'll talk about him as we get closer to the season. But you think about Jamal Williams, who led the NFL with 17 rushing touchdowns. I don't know that Dave Montgomery gets 17 rushing touchdowns, but double-digit rushing touchdowns very much within the range of outcomes for Montgomery here. He's been a bit of a workhorse here. He's not a bad pass catcher as well. You can use him on all three downs. Like, I thought this was a good signing for Detroit. It's an annoying signing for us in fantasy, but this was a good signing, and he's going to be more useful than any of us want him to be.
To me, David Montgomery is like I-95. He's a necessity that you don't really look forward to, but it ultimately kind of gets you where you need to go.
Gets used every day, but you just don't know if it's going to be good or bad.
Exactly.
He is going to be one of those guys in drafts where, like, when you draft David Montgomery, you're with your buddies, you're at a bar like this, and you're like, David Montgomery. Like, literally no one's going to go, like,
okay, fine.
I wanted him. No one's going to do that.
Great
right?
take
like
in
when,
the chat.
When you take Bijan Robinson, that's what's going to happen. You'll get like, oh, man, sleeper, you know, I wanted him. Like, no one's going to say that. Everyone's going to be like, okay, David Montgomery. Find him on your list, mark him out. That's what's going to happen. But you know what? You're going to look up, and he's going to have 1,200 yards and, like, 12 touchdowns.
He's always among the least efficient running backs in the league by almost every metric. But he's a coach's guy. Coaches love this guy. He's a team leader. He's a rah-rah guy. And he has Dan Campbell, the ultimate rah-rah guy, as his head coach. I think they mesh really well. And it doesn't matter if he's not good. He's going to see a lot of touches.
That's my point.
And so people say, oh, well, he's not good. They're going to have to give the ball to DeAndre Swift. No, they don't. They've proven that time and again. Yeah. They won't do it.
Yeah, I mean, look, DeAndre, like, we all like Jamal Williams. We're going to talk about his signing coming next. Like, we all like Jamal. But DeAndre Swift, on a skill level, is one of the best running backs in the NFL. Like, he is just a special dude. And Jamal Williams, as much as we all like Jamal Williams, Jamal Williams is not a special dude when it comes to a running back. And yet, time and time again, to Denny's point, they went to Jamal Williams last year.
Jamal Williams had 46 carries inside the 10-yard line last year. He led all running backs by 16. The next closest is Joe Mixon, 16 fewer. So if Montgomery gets at least, like, I don't know, 80% of that, that's an enormous fantasy workload.
Especially, by the way, on a team that we expect their defense to be better.
Yeah.
Like, we don't expect them to be down and chucking it a lot. Like, we think they're going to be more competitive in games, which means they're going to probably be running the ball a little bit more in the second half than they were previously.
Plus 135 to win the division.
I was going to ask you, the Lions are
heavy favorites.
Really positioned nicely in this division now.
Bears.
As we talk about, the Bears are the better bet in terms of the odds.
Yeah, David went to the wrong team.
You've been in Chicago too much lately.
I do like Chicago.
It's starting to infect your brain. Denny, you brought up Jamal Williams and his red zone usage last year, and he goes to the Saints on a three-year, $12 million contract. Here's the situation with the Saints. We know Kamara could be dealing with suspension this year. He's dealt with injuries. But for Jamal Williams, it's kind of hard to find a new ceiling considering the situation he was in with the Lions. So what is this for him and the Saints? How do you project him with the Saints?
You know, first of all, I think it's good for Kamara whenever he plays, because Kamara can get back to that in-space pass-catching role that he was so good at for years in New Orleans before they, for some reason, made him a between-the-tackles runner and kind of, you know, it ruined his fantasy appeal.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not his game. So hopefully Kamara can get back to that role. I will say Jamal Williams will probably be overdrafted for my taste, because people remember last year, remember the 17 touchdowns, remember, like I said, all those carries inside the 5, inside the 10. That's not going to happen again here. But, you know, if Kamara is suspended for, I don't know, a month or more, then Williams probably will look pretty good at ADP if you are fading running backs early and looking, you know, to sort of cobble together
running
backs late.
See, to me, that's the pro Jamal Williams argument, right? Is that, like, you might get 6 weeks of RB1 production for a guy that's going to cost, and we don't know when those 6 weeks will come, right? I mean, it might be the first 6 weeks of the season, by the way, but it might be the fantasy playoffs. Again, like, we just have no idea. I think the prevailing wisdom is that Kamara is likely facing a suspension. Again, they want to wait for the legal process to play out. The NFL has. But the footage that's been released of that incident, and listen, I'm no lawyer, obviously. I'm not even an analyst. Like, but, you know, who knows what I am. But the fact is,
it's not like, good.
It doesn't look good.
No.
It does not look good. And so, at a minimum, I think the floor for Jamal Williams is Mark Ingram's role in this offense, right? Like, they don't want Alvin Kamara to be the between the tackles guy. So could he be like a, you know, a squint and, you know, squint and you can sort of see it usable flex in weeks in which Kamara is active and you're hoping like a touchdown dependent flex.
Yeah, sure.
But there's, you know, the potential for 6 weeks, at least 6 weeks, because Kamara's obviously dealt with injuries over the last couple of years as well. There's the potential for 6 weeks of RB1 production. I will say this. I think Jamal Williams goes somewhere in the should go. He should be the first of the high upside backups. Like, he should be, you know, he should go before, you know, last year where Alexander Mattison or Tony Pollard went. He should go before that range, if you will, right?
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is that if you ask most football fans, like, where do the Saints rank in the league? Like, most people say, like, the 16th, 17th best type of team. They're also plus 125 and the favorite to win
division
that
stinks.
Awful division. Yeah. So they're going to be in positions where they're going to have more advantageous situations than you might otherwise think, just because they've got six games against the Falcons, the Baker Mayfield, Bucks, and the Panthers.
Why does poor Baker Mayfield, like, let me tune into Peacock. Let me see what's going on over here.
Stray
and then just a stray, like, why isn't the C.J. Stroud Panthers? Why isn't the Desmond Ritter Falcons? Why do I, Baker Mayfield, who's actually won a playoff game, why am I catching strays?
Just differentiating from your good friend Tom Brady and the Tom Brady Bucks, which are now
no Brady.
New era.
My BFF.
He said he's no Brady. I'm not Tom, and I'm glad he said that, because last year, by most measurements, he was the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Baker Mayfield. By most measurements, but not all measurements.
Not all measurements.
Stay through the break, Baker. It get a lot better for you. another one here.
Anyway, but by the way, one quick question for my friends at Peacock that are watching this. Why does Jamal Williams not have a reality show yet? That's what I'm asking. Like,
come on,
hey, Peacock, let's make this happen.
Let's do this.
Like, give me
unbelievable.
Jamal Williams.
The most entertaining presser in the NFL.
I was just going to say MVP seats.
Kimmy Jair Alexander as well. Maybe we'll
those two.
There you go.
Hard to
believe they're in the same locker room.
There you go, Peacock. Look, I'm doing your job for you. Full reality show with Alexander and Jamal Williams.
All right, the Eagles signed Rashad Penny, a one-year, $1.35 million contract, obviously due to the injury history that Penny has dealt with. But Barry, he's one of those guys that he can go off for over 100 yards and two touchdowns on any given week. You just never know where it's going to be. But he does, you know, obviously fall into a backfield that could be adding somebody in the draft. They like Kenny Gainwell. There are some different variables here.
I actually think my sort of feeling is that if I'm doing best ball drafts right now, like, no one's paying attention to Rashad Penny. I believe by the time we get to August, you know, he'll become such a trendy sleeper that he will be overhyped a little bit. But, like, sky's the limit for Rashad Penny. Really efficient offense, great offensive line, tremendous skill set. And this is a guy who, not last year but the year before, won people their fantasy leagues. Like, the fantasy playoffs two seasons ago, he was a top three fantasy running back. He might have been the number one running back in fantasy, was he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, and so, like, he was just phenomenal. He's got a home run. He's got this home run ability. He's great out of the pass, you know, out of the backfield as a pass catcher as well. And so, look, Kenny Gainwell's a nice player, but, like, he's not the every down guy. And so I think it just depends. If they get through the draft and they don't add, like, a star running back, and it's just they, you know, I could see a scenario where they go into the season with Boston Scott, Kenny Gainwell, and Rashad Penny. And in that scenario, like, I'm all in on Penny. Yes, health is the issue. Health is the concern with him, but he's on a one-year prove-it deal once again. He was good in Seattle last year before he got hurt. I mean, like, we all see how good Ken Walker was, and he was able to hold off Ken Walker until he got hurt. So at current cost, I'm all in on Rashad Penny.
You go all the way back to 2019, and you look at Penny's healthy stretches, which are few and far between, I understand, and that's part of the reason I think his ADP will be so suppressed this summer. Even if he gets some sleeper hype, I think that it'll still be a reasonable price point. But, yeah, Rashad Penny, every time he's healthy, is among the most efficient running backs in the NFL. Again, last year, 2021, obviously, was like a special six-week run that we might not see again for a while. I mean, I looking at the numbers, you could say that when healthy, I know it doesn't happen often, Rashad Penny is the best running back in the NFL.
He He is the anti-David
pound
Montgomery.
For pound. He is. Absolutely. Yeah. And but that injury history, people will be freaked out by that. And I'm okay with that. I think I can deal with that.
I think especially at ADP, he's very much worth a flyer. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. He could have a huge year.
Yeah, and also, he had that stretch in 2021 where he was outplaying Jonathan Taylor down the stretch. He was having a historic season. And he's doing that behind a pretty bad offensive line in Seattle. Yeah, and now he gets the best offensive line in football. Like, he's going to be someone who, like, we don't have markets on this up, but he's going to be like 150-1 to win the rushing title. Like, that kind of ridiculous. Yeah. Because everyone just thinks, oh, Rashad Penny's on a one-year, $1.35 million deal. He gets hurt all the time. Like, guys can just stay healthy for 1 year, and then all of a sudden, like, he could absolutely rush for 1,700 yards if he stays healthy.
Especially in a new home where they might understand his usage or how to time his usage a little bit better for an offense that is going to score a ton of points again.
It's going to score a ton of points. That they have enough backs there that they can mix and match, and you've obviously got Jalen Hurts in the backfield as well, so defenses are going to have to account for that in a way that they didn't have to in Seattle with him. And so maybe that opens up some rushing lanes as well. Like, we've often seen that running backs that play with very mobile quarterbacks often are more efficient as well, just because, again, you usually have to keep a linebacker spy on that quarterback, and so that opens up a lot of lanes when you have a creative play caller, which hopefully the Eagles will.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Another notable signing here, guys, the Texans signed Motor Singletary, a one-year, $3.75 million contract as he moves on from the Bills. I think, honestly, Denny, everybody's question immediately pivots to, will Damian Pierce no longer be that workhorse guy in Houston?
I think we kind of got the rug pulled out from under us on Damian Pierce on this signing. I was, you know, I've been doing some best ball drafts. I've liked Damian Pierce's ADP, not as much now because Devin Singletary was never used as a pass catcher in Buffalo, meaning that if they're going to use him at all, and I'm guessing they are, it's going to be on early downs, and that's going to really eat into Damian Pierce's usage. Now, maybe Pierce is used more as a pass catcher. He wasn't bad in that role last year, but he was only seeing about 3.1 targets per game as a rookie. So I think that his paths to fantasy upside have been very much narrowed by this Singletary signing, unfortunately.
I'm not as worried about it as you are. No. I mean, I think they really like Pierce. I mean, again, I'm a big follow the money guy. 1 year, $3.75 million. That's a depth signing.
It's not much.
And I've seen that's where it maxes out. A lot of these contracts,
right, incentives and everything
like that. Especially running backs.
The fact that Singletary couldn't do better than that, to me, Devin Singletary is just a better version of Rex Burkhead last year. Mm. That's what he is. Like, I mean, you know, they use Rex Burkhead here and there, you know, to spell him and everything like that. And I think Singletary is more of a, you know, a veteran, and so they're gonna have a young quarterback. They're gonna want to have somebody who's good in pass pro, who's a good pass catcher, so that, like, when that quarterback gets in trouble, has somebody to dump off to. So I think you could see Singletary there. But am I worried about when they get on the 5 yard line? Suddenly here comes Devin Singletary. Like, I'm not. Like,
probably not.
I hear you that it maybe caps the ceiling on Pierce a little bit, but what did we think what do we think? Like, Pierce's, I thought Pierce's floor was, or his ceiling was, like, running back 10.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think he could still get there if they limit Singletary's usage. But Singletary, you know, like, some of his peripheral stats show a guy who can be efficient as a rusher. Again, as a pass catcher, just horrible. One of the worst pass catchers. It doesn't make much sense either. It seems like he would excel in that role. But I do worry a little bit about what it does for Pierce, but I'm not completely fading Pierce after the Singletary.
I think Pierce is a fine RB2, and maybe he doesn't have as much upside, but I also don't think the floor, I still think there's a very solid floor, especially given that they're going to have a rookie quarterback that they're going to want to, you know,
establish it.
Right? I think as well that Pierce, it's probably went a little bit under the radar, but he was used in the passing game more than you expect, because the first three games there's no passing game usage, but he ended up with 30 receptions, 39 targets in 13 games. He had, I think, 4 games where he had at least 5 targets, so he definitely does have that element.
Yeah, he's an elite pass protector too, so they'll keep him on the field, and it helps. The Texans traded for Shaq Mason. They extended Laremy Tunsil. Like, this offensive line is actually in a good place for a team that is also going to probably be playing a rookie quarterback. Guys, here's the other...
I'll just go back. I think Singletary is a bigger name than threat. I think he was a depth signing. Honestly, yeah. I do. Like, and that's what the money suggests to me as well.
A couple more of those exact signings, and you guys can pick out which one stands to you. Alexander Madison goes back to the Vikings on a 2-year, $6.4 million deal. We'll see what that means ultimately for Cook. Deontay Foreman signs a one-year, $3 million deal with the Bears as David Montgomery's out. Deontay Foreman's in. Damian Harris signs a one-year deal with the Bills. That one's kind of interesting. Raheem Mostert is back with the Dolphins on a two-year deal. Jeff Wilson is back with the Dolphins on a two-year deal. James Robinson signs a two-year, $8 million deal with the Patriots after being phased out of the Jets' offense at the end of last year. And then Samaje Perine signs a two-year, $7.5 million deal with the Broncos. Jay, looking at these, are any of these more noteworthy to you than the rest?
I think it's interesting with the Dolphins, just because I like that team a lot overall, and I think they have huge upside. I think they can absolutely win the division. That team is absolutely stacked now with the additions they made on defense, most notably Jalen Ramsey, and then on offense. Like, the Dolphins were really banged up last year. Teron Armstead was dealing with injuries the whole second half of the season. Tyreek Hill had the niggle with his ankle, and then Tua, obviously. Like, they could be a juggernaut, and if they're a juggernaut, it means that they're going to be running the ball, and obviously you get Mostert and Wilson both back, but I think that they can both be usable. And then if one goes down, which probably will happen at some point during the year, then you all of a sudden you've got a guy who could be a borderline RB1.
I agree. I mean, I think at least we know sort of what to expect with Miami, and I think it's going to be tough to rank one guy over the other each week. But I think both guys, to your point, are usable low-end RB2, high-end flexes on a week-to-week. To me, you mentioned it, you know, to me the most interesting one here is Damian Harris. I think Damian Harris is a good player.
He is a good player.
You know, like, not being as good as or as versatile as Ramondre Stevenson is not a, you know, is not a negative. Like, there's a lot of running backs in the NFL that are good running backs. They just aren't as good as Ramondre Stevenson. And so, you know, it does two things. Number one is I think Damian Harris could actually have more fantasy value in Buffalo than he did in New England, more explosive offense, and somebody that has sort of a very clear role. Like, I'm going to be a pounder. And as they want to continue to extend Josh Allen's career, like, maybe – Allen's still going to always tuck in and run at some point, but like as they get in close, you could see him being kind of a hammer at the goal line here. It also caps, like, you know, when Singletary, we're like, ooh, James Cook season, and now we're like, Like, to me, I'm more disappointed about James Cook than I am about Damian Pierce with the Devin Singletary thing.
It's the same thing with Khalil Herbert in Chicago.
Right.
Like, I was really amped about Herbert, you know, finally maybe getting something like a workhorse role because he's been so good when he's been the lead back. Way better than David Montgomery. I think we've established that is possible for any running back in that offense.
Right.
But, yeah, so Deontay Foreman has been good, you know, and there's no two ways about it. He's very interesting to me as a late-round flyer who – could just end up as the lead back, maybe if Herbert struggles with injuries again, maybe if they just see Foreman as more of a lead back, you know, the size factor. Herbert is not nearly as large as Foreman, and that offense, that Chicago offense, the run heaviest offense in the NFL last year outside of Atlanta, of course, and so, you know, Foreman could have kind of hidden volume based upside there.
I think all of these signings, or a lot of them, they just go to show that it's just the demise of the workhorse running back. Yeah. Like, a lot of these situations, like, oh, maybe James Cook could have become the guy. Oh, maybe Mostert if it was just him. But all of, like, who's left? It's really just, like, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Saquon. Is there anyone else?
CMC.
Like, yeah. There's well, even CMC's, like,
doing right.
He's for sure. Yeah.
I mean, Eckler a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not much.
I mean, he's not your prototypical workhorse back, but he gets that kind of usage, or at least did.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, but, I mean, it gets mixed in to an extent. Like, but, yeah. The list gets shorter and shorter as we continue on.
The top remaining free agents on the running back market, Ezekiel Elliott, who finishes RB22. He's out there after moving on. The Cowboys move on from him. Leonard Fournette with a top 15 finish. He's out there. And then Kareem Hunt. It'll be interesting to see if he lands with a place with upside. Is there any spots here, Barry, that you'd like to see one of these guys go? Or anybody at least that you think has more left in the tank than the general public kind of perceives?
Yeah, I mean, like all of them. I mean, I will tell you that, you know, when I was hanging with my best friend Tom Brady, him and I hanging out this weekend, just palling around with a couple of our buddies, Leonard Fournette was there as well.
Yes.
And I literally point blank asked him, like, where are you going? You know? And he goes, honestly, I don't know. He goes, I have no idea. I mean, I would think that, I actually think in the right situation, all three of those guys could be useful. To me, I feel like, because we've seen Fournette be productive last year, obviously, so Fournette. But to me, the interesting one is Kareem Hunt. And just that, like, he hasn't – this is a guy that won a rushing title as a rookie and then just hasn't been used that much. And it feels like that explosiveness is still there. He was behind Nick Chubb, who might be the best running back in the NFL from a pure skill standpoint. And – you know, they had quarterback issues and just wasn't a particularly good team. So I feel like in the right system, we talked about this, and it's weird because they went and got Perine. But, like, if Javonte Williams is more hurt than we think, which I think is a very real possibility, and Kareem Hunt went to Denver, that becomes really interesting. Or if Kamara gets suspended for a year or for much of a year and Kareem Hunt goes to New Orleans, that becomes really interesting, right? I just think in Kareem Hunt in the right situation becomes really interesting.
I like Kareem Hunt, I will
as
say...
As a football player.
As a player, yes,
as a
sure.
fantasy football player.
Yes.
So we have to be clear about that.
Not sure about other aspects. But, yeah, he is a guy who was efficient coming into last year, and then it just kind of fell off a cliff. I do worry a little bit about last season and his kind of the peripheral stats showing that he may be edging toward the latter half of his career. And I don't know if he profiles as a guy who's going to see who can even see 15 to 18 touches in a game.
The counter to that, and you might be right, by the way, you absolutely might be right. You just never know with running backs. The only counter to that is it felt like there was already bad blood in Cleveland. Yeah. Like he wanted to get out last year. And so it just may have been one of those mental things where, and he's not getting the playing time that he wants. And it just, mentally, he may not have been there. He may have checked out on the team. And so, listen, you're a professional. You're still being paid a lot of money. You have to do what you do. But
he definitely wasn't happy, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there are other things that you could excuse away. It still may be right. The skills may be diminishing, but it also may be one of those things that, in a new situation with a team where he feels appreciated and he has a role that's more suited to his skill set, maybe he's got another year left.
Ironically, I think he could go on the path that another guy on that screen went down in Leonard Fournette, where it looked like Leonard Fournette was just done.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville is a 3.8 yards per carry kind of guy, and then all of a sudden, Super Bowl winning Lenny. So I think all these guys, any running back, the situation you want to end up in right now is Philadelphia, because Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott, they are not so super entrenched. And then Rashad Penny, despite the upside, the most likely thing is that he gets hurt. And then all of a sudden, you could have anyone slide in to be a number one running back behind the best offensive line in football.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting, right? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised by any of those guys winding up in Dallas, right? We don't know what Dallas is doing behind Tony Pollard. I don't know if they want to go in with just Tony Pollard.
Feels like Leonard Fournette to Dallas.
Yeah, it does.
That's like a thing.
They might draft
right?
Bijan.
Yeah.
And they might, right.
That's talking, very real
that's
right
the rumor,
now.
Right. Ooh, that so. They might draft Bijan. I mean, I know they like Keontae Ingram a little bit, but any one of those guys in Arizona paired with James Conner could be kind of interesting. Mm-hmm, you can sort of see that, too.
How about the Bengals right now with the unclear future of Joe Mixon, and we saw P. Ryan obviously go to the market? That's kind of a sneaky one that I think a lot of people aren't onto yet.
Hunt, maybe.
Go ahead.
Yeah, for Kareem. That's a
Kareem Hunt landing spot. Pass-catching.
Maybe Fournette as well. Yeah.
Yep. All right, guys, before we get to the wide receiver signings over the last week, baseball season is right around the corner, so pick up your Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. Get all the best player profiles, rankings, and projections you need to dominate your draft. Go to NBCSportsEdge.com/draft guide and use Pennant25 to save 25% at checkout.
Do you guys notice what Connor did there when he said it's right around the corner? Corner, that's kind of a baseball term, the hot corner, everything like that. Really, really
I didn't catch that myself.
It's that kind of wordplay.
It's that kind of wordplay that Chris was like, yes, I need that for the rest of my life. I'm in.
Yes.
I'm in.
Oh, boy.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Wide receivers here, fellas.
Poor Kristen.
Yeah, I agree Kristen. With that, actually. Yeah. So, don't know what she was thinking. So, yeah. Yes, that's why she delayed. I didn't hear you.
Right. She fill back up.
Yeah. All right, the Jets signed wide receiver Alan Lazard, formerly of Green Bay, of course, to a four-year, $44 million. I believe 2 years, 22 is guaranteed in this deal. It's no secret Aaron Rodgers at some point will be a Jet. They get out in front of that move and sign his buddy in Lazard here, Barry. Lazard really known for his blocking, but did have his best season as a receiver yet last year as well.
Yeah, and I think this is a much better signing for Aaron Rodgers and, you know, I mean, like, and for the Jets than I think it is fantasy-wise.
Yeah.
In Green Bay, he was the clear-cut number one wide receiver. He goes to the Jets, and he's not going to be. Like, now, again, there's a familiarity with Rodgers that Garrett Wilson won't have, but, like, just from a skill standpoint, like, come
close.
On, right? It's not close. So, you know, and Rodgers is going to realize that pretty quickly, I think. So I think it's a good for Alan Lazard, good for Aaron Rodgers to have a buddy there, you know, and I think Randall Cobb is next.
He'll show up at some point.
Right,
the big dog, Mercedes
right,
Lewis.
Mercedes Lewis.
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson, right, Greg Jennings. Yeah, the whole gang will be there, right, absolutely. Donald Driver,
yeah.
Right?
Like, bait Elijah Moore as soon as you can, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, just...
again.
Well, again, that's the other thing is that maybe you have some insight into this. You know, we taped the thing when we did our show last week. There were rumors that he was going to go to the Jets. We thought it might happen, but it wasn't until he came out on the Pat McAfee show and said, that's my intention, is I want to play for the Jets. And so now the Packers and Jets are sort of haggling over compensation, and we don't know what that is going to be because Rodgers is under contract to the Green Bay Packers. They don't want that contract on their books, but... So it'll get done at some point. But Elijah Moore, potentially a piece that goes back to the Green Bay?
I think it's more likely Corey Davis is
sure.
in this deal. Yeah. They haven't cut Corey Davis yet, even though the Lazard signing, the money, the role, everything is a direct replacement. So I think it's looking like Corey Davis is almost a lock to be in this deal. And if he's not, then they will just move on from him and he'll enter the free agent market. Everything I've heard is the Jets have very little interest in giving up on players that they think can help this tight, tight window they'll have with Rodgers. They view Elijah Moore as that, some younger guys on defense like Jermaine Johnson, his name's been kicked around. So I think the good thing for Moore is Braxton Berrios signed with the Dolphins. Berrios ate into Moore's slot reps, those manufactured touches. So I'm not going to buy into Elijah Moore again, but I'm saying there's a more defined role that should have existed for him in the first place.
Well, sure, but counter to that is like, yes, they don't want to give up Elijah Moore, but if the Packers are like, yeah, we don't want Corey Davis's contract. We want Elijah Moore's rookie contract. And, you know, like, they're
that's
not
going to
say.
Here.
Yeah, I mean, Woody Johnson's not going to say, like, wait a minute, the reason we don't have Aaron Rodgers is because you guys won't give up Elijah Moore. Give up Elijah Moore.
Like, and you know the Woody like, factor is very real.
Right,
like, Joe Douglas will not. Woody owns the team, and Woody is known for getting involved in trades, going all the way back to the Brett Favre trade, which was Woody's decision, not Eric Mangini's. So history repeats itself.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm just saying, I don't think they're. I understand that the desire is not to move on from Elijah Moore if you're the Jets, but they also may not have a choice.
Might have a
and
choice.
So I think there's a non-zero chance that Elijah Moore goes to the Packers in a deal.
Yeah, which right? There's definitely a non-zero.
Yeah.
Is it probably unlikely? Probably, but definitely a non-zero.
Yeah, I don't know if it's 5% or 50%. My guess is it's closer to 5%.
Yep, I would
still,
say so.
There's a non-zero chance, and as one source said to me at the Combine, my nipples are hard for Alan Lazard.
Oh,
they actually aren't now that he's on the Jets.
Dead man never die.
But I just, you know,
gotta get to the real
you don't
season,
often get a chance to say you know, the words nipples on streaming networks.
Yeah.
Every single week he scores, do you get to drop that one in during the season?
Yeah, we need we need a meme.
Probably about
2,000%.
Yeah. At least it'll happen a handful of times. Yeah. So, all right, another big one here. The Patriots. Jacoby Myers goes out the door. They bring in Juju Smith-Schuster, basically somebody that'll play the same exact role. Mm-hmm. Similar contract, too. Three-year, $25.5 million contract for Juju here, Denny. I mean, let's be real right now. There are a lot of targets on the table in Bill O'Brien's Patriots offense.
There are, and there is. He's going to have to be. Juju's going to have to be a target hog if he's going to get there for fantasy. If he's going to be a wide receiver two in PPR formats, he had two downfield targets all of last year in the Chiefs' offense.
20+ yards.
Of 20+ yards. Okay, so the days of him making plays downfield are absolutely over. I know there was some question in Kansas City. Will he get back to that? The answer was absolutely not. He's 84th out of 88 qualified wide receivers in average depth of target, over the past three seasons combined, including again with Patrick Mahomes. So I just, you know, it's a downgrade for offensive environment here, But there are a lot of targets open, so I'm not completely dismissing Juju.
22% target share for Jacoby Myers last year. 56% of those targets came from the slot. So it is one of those things. It's like there is the opportunity for him to be a usable asset in PPR the way that Jacoby Myers was. Sure. But, like, again, we don't expect Juju to be a big touchdown scorer. Health is more of an issue with Juju than Jacoby Myers was. And, like, I think Jacoby Myers, like, if Juju wasn't there and Jacoby Myers were still on the Patriots, Jacoby Myers maybe is a top 50 wide receiver. Like, he's probably getting drafted somewhere in that 40 to 50 range. Mm-hmm. And that feels right for Juju as well. Like, Juju probably, like, a little bit better player than Jacoby Myers, but also has more injury concerns than Jacoby does. So feels like it's a better NFL signing than it is a fantasy signing. I'm buying a Mac Jones bounce back as an NFL quarterback. Like, I don't think he's a fantasy relevant one, but I'm not out on Mac Jones as an NFL quarterback yet. I think Bill O'Brien being there will certainly help, but you know, it's not going to be an explosive offense. It's going to be a Patriots offense, right? It's going to be running heavy, and it's
Dink and
Ramondre Stevenson, and it's going to be slow paced and play good defense. And
The one thing is that Juju Smith-Schuster somehow just turned 26.
That's
feels
amazing.
Like he's 50 years old. 20-year-old. He's been around for so
20-year-old rookie.
So I think that is the one thing that maybe there's still the hope he can get back, that explosion that he had those first couple of years in Pittsburgh. But at the same time, like, he just had a B-minus season with Patrick Mahomes and now goes to a much less friendlier environment, to your point. But wouldn't entirely give up on that guy coming back potentially just because he's so young.
Yeah, I'm not out on him as an NFL player, but just as a consistent fantasy relevant guy. Again, I don't think the touchdowns are going to be there. So what you're really banking on is volume in PPR, and so you're hopeful there, but again, it's a slow-paced offense that doesn't throw a ton, and I will tell you, talking to my Kansas City sources when I was at the Combine, they said, you know, basically, like, we love Juju, but one of the concerns is like, we don't think he can make it through a 17-game season.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, and by the way, he didn't last year, and he, you know, there's just throughout his career, he has struggled with health, and so if he can't pop in Kansas City, like, it's hard to see him going, you know, being better than he was last year. On a points per game basis, he was wide receiver 36 last year with the Chiefs. Wide receiver 27. So even if you say, like, total points, like, with Mahomes, he was barely a top 30 wide receiver.
Feels like there's going to be a lot of games of 6 receptions for 58 yards, no touchdowns.
Yes. So and that last part is what matters for him, ultimately.
Yeah. Right.
It's a big difference.
By the way, 6 for 58, that's Jacoby Myers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean like,
Jacoby.
You know what, 5 for 77. It's Jacoby Myers, like, which is fine.
You take it in your wide receiver 3 spot.
Yeah.
You know, you just plug him in, get 11 points, whatever.
Yeah, fine.
Yep.
It's great. Whatever. But now that you're like, woohoo.
I-95.
You're not leaving your draft going, yeah, man, I got Juju Smith.
You don't feel good about that.
No.
Jay, a move with upside here. The Cowboys trade for Brandon Cooks. They don't really give up much of anything. A 2023 fifth-round pick, 2024 sixth-round pick. We know the salary, what was involved with Cooks, and he wanted out of Houston. He was very vocal about that last year. The Cowboys needed that third wide receiver to play with CD and Gallup. This probably maybe even in the long run helps CD because they like playing him in the slot primarily, and Cooks can play inside-outside. But individually, what do you make of Cooks and his upside in Dallas?
I mean, I think it's a little bit capped just because of the presence of those three guys, because you had in Dalton Schultz as well, and there's just not he's not going to get the usage that he's gotten at his absolute peak. But at the same, I think it's a better football move than a fantasy move. I'd be a little bit concerned about Michael Gallup, who just never looked right last season. He was not the same guy. I mean, now he's another year removed from the ACL, so maybe he looks better. But, I mean, it's now a crowded team as well. If there's going to be more Pollard in the passing game, it's just hard to see how Cooks has a pathway to being elite.
He goes from having a 24% target share in Houston over his last 3 years to where he's going to have a much smaller target share, but better quarterback, more efficient offense. And I don't see a scenario – I don't think it would be shocking if he leapfrogs Michael Gallup to be the number two. I actually think they're bringing him in to be the number two.
That's what I thought,
You know, like, one of the things I wrote in my Combine column is that my sources from Dallas were saying to me, like, they want to make a splash on offense. And we can talk about whether this was a splash or a drip, you know, like, or just, you know, a little trickle, you know, like more of a pebble than a big rock going into a pond. But the fact of the matter is Brandon Cooks is a big name player. Like, he's a guy that's had multiple 1,000-yard receiving, you know, with bad quarterback play, really inconsistent quarterback play. But he's always produced 6 of his 9 years in the NFL. He's had over 1,000 different yards, including with 4 different teams. And so, you know, I mean, I think, you know, this is I agree. It's a good NFL move for Dak, for his fantasy value, for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I think it helps CeeDee as well. Yeah. But I think Brandon Cooks is probably about where he was. Like last year, he was wide receiver 37 in points per game. Sounds about right. Like he's in that wide receiver 3-4 range where, again, less target share, but better quarterback, better offense.
Yep. So I misspoke. Dalton Schultz obviously signed with the Texans yesterday, but there's just not that many targets to go around. Also, Brandon Cooks, he's coming up on 10 years in the league now as well. So he is, you know, he's still 29 years old. He's still going to be able to produce, but this is going to be CeeDee Lamb's offense.
And Dallas will draft a tight end pretty early. So those targets that you mentioned, they're going just to a different name.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
It was super weird, but one of the rumors I heard was they're going to draft Bijan Robinson and then convert him to tight end. Because they need a tight end, but Jerry really wants Bijan. There you go. That's a win-win for
everyone. That's what we do on this show. We meet in the middle all the time. Yeah. Danny, last notable one here. The Panthers signed Adam Thielen, three-year, $25 million contract, $14 million in guarantees. We know Carolina, after trading DJ Moore in the move to go up to number one, this is a big hole in targets at wide receiver for this team, and now Thielen's a veteran that can fill that.
I guess he is.
Well, they're expecting that.
Yeah, right. And I guess even though, you know, he's dropped off in pretty much every category over the past two or three seasons, Thielen should be considered the wide receiver one in this offense right now. I know the LaVisca Chenault truthers on Twitter. I'm sorry, guys. I do want to apologize. I know you're probably
you said truthers, like there's plural. Isn't it just Peter Overzet at this point?
No, Pete has an army. Pete has an army.
I think it's a bunch of bots. Okay. Listen, I know Peter fairly well. I think it is a bunch of bots.
It could be, but there are real flesh and blood people who believe in LaVisca Chenault, and I don't want to.
Peter Overzet with a bunch of different IDs is what it is. That's what it is.
Well,
it,
and so yeah, anyway. I mean, I guess Thielen is the guy. He's going to play from the slot again like he did in Minnesota. I think that definitely dings Chenault. Marshall had some good slot usage last year. But, yeah, I mean, right now, let's see what they do in the draft. I guess Thielen is their wide receiver.
Connor, how does, if it's Stroud or Young or Richardson, how does that impact Chenault and Thielen?
Well, I think if it's Stroud, you love it because of his pocket presence and timing, and Thielen is based, his game is based on timing in his route. So the ball will always be there. Stroud, coming out of Ohio State, he understands how to lean on a number one wide receiver in the offense. He did it with Jackson Smith and Jigba 2 years ago, Marvin Harrison Jr. this year. So I think if it's Stroud, and a lot of people think it will be Stroud, there's a lot of upside there with Thielen because Stroud's ready to roll.
I actually think Thielen's kind of a sleeper here.
Yeah.
Right? Well, just in these – here's the thing. Like, no, like he is going to be left for dead in drafts. Like, no one – Panthers, you know, he is – but to your point, like, I think even if – LaVisca Chenault becomes a thing. LaVisca Chenault is not a volume guy. Like, he's a gadget guy. Like, they'll use him in different ways, and he could be a poor man's Kadarius Toney. Yeah. What we saw, you know, moments, you know, in flashes in Kansas City last year for Toney. Like, so you could see that with Chenault. But, like, give me Thielen over Jacoby Myers or Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, in terms of a guy that, like, we were talking like 6 for 70. Like, I guess my point is that I think while Thielen dropped off last year, there's no question, and it's a much worse environment. The fact is I just don't think it's going to I think his ADP will drop much further than his fantasy value, because this is a guy that was, you know, a couple of years ago a top 10 fantasy wide receiver, and as recently as like 2 years ago was a top 20 wide receiver opposite Justin Jefferson. And so I think that as the number one guy and as kind of a safety valve for whoever the rookie quarterback is,
Could be built-in volume.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he's much more of a floor play than an upside play. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, like, if you're in that range where you're looking for a wide receiver three and you're in a PPR league, you're in a 12-team PPR league where you're just like, I need 12 to 14 points every week. Like, I think 6 for 77 is, like, not out of the question for him every single week.
Adam Thielen is Brandon Cooks on the Texans, effectively, I think. I think he's that type of – he's going to be that type of production.
The quarterback will be better.
Very different wide receiver.
In terms of established big-name wide receiver, veteran on a bad team, and kind of chugs along and gets you what you
just
need.
Just a volume-based wide receiver three who I bet you averages – double-digit fantasy points.
You could do worse.
Listen, I make that argument to my wife all the time.
You
could do worse. You have done worse. Come on.
All right, other notable wide receiver free agency signings here. Paris Campbell signs a one-year deal.
Was that part of the conversation with Kristen, by the way? Was that like...
That's been my selling point from day one.
Right, you could do worse.
You could definitely.
We were friends for 5 years before we ever dated, so that was my line. Like, okay, 5 years have gone by. You've seen that you could do worse.
Right.
Let's give this a shot.
So you were, that's fascinating to me. You were in the friend zone for 5 years.
Well, we were both with other people, too.
I think, no, no,
friends,
no.
Friend zone's
Don't disrupt. No, I've got a.
But go with it. Run with it.
No, no, no.
Yes.
I figured this out.
You have
now.
A good bit ready. I'm ready for it.
I figured this out. That's fine. So Kristen had you in the friend zone, and so you're just sitting there patiently waiting while she's going after, you're going out with, like, you know, D-bag after D-bag.
That's
like, just
fair.
Like a bunch of, like, a bunch of losers, guys that aren't right for her. You're just sitting there pining away.
Yeah.
Hopefully Kristen will notice me. I'm just sitting over here with my Jets playbook, you know, just trying to, like, you know.
Analyzing the draft.
Analyzing the draft.
Great selling point for her career.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Just, you know, nerding out on, you know, 40 times and 3-cone times and,
Connor's C.J. Stroud. Very high floor.
Kristen
thinks for Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield.
Pro ready? Yeah. Some would say I'm pro ready.
Is it C.J. Stroud or is it more like Mike White? Like, bided his time.
Come on.
Bided his time. Finally got a shot. Finally got a shot. Made the most of his moment.
Yep.
Got paid.
Am I going to get hurt, though, really soon? Like, is Matt Milano going to break me in half at some point? I'm a little nervous right now. Yeah. Is that why Denny's here? Are you sending Denny on a blitz?
I'm sorry to report.
A blindside blitz?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what, you know, what, I don't know what goes on with you.
Is Lawrence hiding somewhere?
Like, I don't know. You know, if there's some aggression there, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on that. But this is a happy time. You guys got engaged. This is great. You got you're the poster boy. Like, you got out of the friend zone, and then four years.
I'm a sign of hope.
You're a sign of hope. You're a beacon of hope. Like, if you're stuck in a friend zone out there, look at Connor Rogers.
He beat it. You're right.
Who
beat the friend zone?
Who beat the? You know, like it took him 9 years. 5 years of friend zone, and then 4 years of dating where Krista was sort of like, maybe someone else will come along, maybe someone comes along. But literally, like, she got there to a decade.
She got to her 30s and was like, okay,
she's like, all right, you know what? Screw it. Fine.
You're
you know what?
It's fine.
David Montgomery, come on down.
There is.
He's a grinder.
I've hated you for 5 years, but you just keep showing up.
You keep showing up. You know, you don't get hurt. You know, it's fine. Like, it's fine. Are you efficient? No, but you know what? I know I can count on you.
You're going to get there.
You're going to get there.
Yes.
So there you go.
It's a great story, Farb.
Yeah, it really
Kyle Pitts can be a tight end once.
Yes, it's thrilling. Like, oh, man.
Tell me I'm wrong. No one in my ear is arguing with me, by the way.
No.
They all agree with me.
I got turned off a long time ago.
Yeah. So, just no ripped the cord. Yeah, as Steven says, want no part of this. Yeah. So that leads to a smooth transition to other notable. How about Paris Campbell, huh? Signed a 1-year deal, $4.7 million deal with the Giants. Darius Slayton goes back to the Giants. That was a little surprise. Mm-hmm. 2-year, $12 million deal. With Big Blue, Sterling Shepard also back with the Giants. So the Giants keep Slayton, keep Shepard, add Paris Campbell. I'm sure they'll look to the draft as well. Deontay Hardy signs a 2-year deal, almost up to $10 million with the Bills, probably an Isaiah McKenzie replacement there. And Mac Hollins, who had some monster weeks last year, gets a 1-year, $2.5 million deal with the Falcons.
To me, Mac Hollins is the interesting one. I'm not convinced all those guys make the Giants, by the way. I mean, they've got a lot of guys
there. Yeah, Isaiah Hodgins is still there. He might be the best of all of them.
Shepard
James,
never plays.
Like they just, they got a lot. I think they're you know, kind of wide receiver by committee, and, like, I'm not convinced all those guys make the team. I think still more movement to come for the New York Giants as well. But Mac Hollins was interesting to me. Mac Hollins is somebody that we've always sort of liked. You know, he's a deep threat. He's had some real nice moments in Las Vegas the last 2 years, or at least last year, I should say. He had some moments in Miami as well. Sort of kind of bounced around. But as you think about Atlanta, like, I'm not convinced Desmond Ridder is definitely the day one starter. Like, I think it's going to be a competition between him and Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah.
And Taylor Heinicke definitely has a lot of, like, you know, F it. Somebody's down there somewhere. Mac Hollins. No, I'm serious. Like Mac Hollins is a great signing for Taylor Heinicke. I don't know about Desmond Ridder yet, but I think that, like, he would, like, I could see a Heinicke to Mac Hollins connection.
I could see it.
And I think Mac Hollins becomes kind of an interesting late-round flyer in best ball, especially.
Just hopefully they throw the ball more. You know, like the Falcons were so stubbornly run-heavy. And, you know, so if we're going to get targets for Drake London, if we're going to get targets for Kyle Pitts, I don't know where Mac Hollins, you know, figures in there, except for maybe the occasional deep ball. And that's really only if Heinicke's in there. I think Ridder is too conservative of a passer to really target a guy like Hollins on those.
You have
routes.
To wonder. I mean, by the way, Heinicke got signed to, like, real money.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, it was 2 years.
20 mil, up to 20 mil?
Yeah, something like
up
that.
To I mean, 20
so, like, you know, for a backup, especially with his sort of resume, that was, you know, kind of eye-opening money, I think, for Heinicke, more than Washington wanted him back, but they certainly didn't think that was his market. And so I wonder if the reason they were so run-heavy last year and so conservative is that Arthur Smith sort of looked at what he had, and I've got Marcus Mariota, or Desmond Ridder, who's what, a fifth-round pick last year?
Fourth or fifth.
Like, but Ridder was supposed to go earlier and then just kept dropping and dropping and dropping. And so NFL talent evaluators saw something in Ridder that – or didn't see something in Ridder that we maybe thought was there. And so Smith may have said, like, hey, our best chance at winning games is grinding this out on the ground. And so maybe they see something in Heinicke where they can be a little bit more open up. And even if it is still run heavy, setting up play action – you know, where you're doing the run. Anyway, I just thought Matt Collins is probably, again, a better NFL signing than he is a fantasy-relevant one, barring an injury. But I do think he's interesting in a deeper league, especially if Heineke's under center. I didn't have much to choose from there, by the way. I had to pick an interesting one on that full screen, and that's what I chose. So, you know, so sue me.
Yeah, the notable remaining free agents.
It's like, you know, like you pick what's given in front of you. You're like, I'm fine.
She's going to love this show. She does watch.
Does she?
Loyal watcher. You know what? Fantasy football happy
God
hour.
Bless you, Kristen.
Yeah.
You know what?
I don't know how she does
listen,
it.
Listen, I don't.
I tell her all the time, you don't have to do this.
No. Listen, there's a lot of things that I don't understand how Kristen does, but, you know,
watching the show is on the list. Yeah. It's up there, yeah. She goes to work and puts on the show when we're live on Peacock.
Fantastic. Yeah. Love her.
Diabolical, love more so.
Would you guys like to get married here at the set? I can make that happen.
Yeah, I don't know if she's going to agree to that, honestly. I'll sell it. You could do the, what is it called?
I can be the officiant.
Yeah, officiant.
I have married two different couples in my life. Yeah. I have become an officiant.
It's a little side hobby of yours.
I'm pretty good at it, believe it or not. Yeah. Rave reviews.
Just constantly going up to people in the halls, want me to marry you.
How about me?
It's something that I've done. I've done it multiple times now. Both couples still together. So I'm two for two.
Oh, that's good.
Just saying, you know, something to think about.
You saw the notable remaining free agents there. Some big names. Odell Beckham on that list. Mecole Hardman. Chosen Anderson.
Yeah,
also formerly known as Robbie Anderson. Jarvis Landry. DJ Chark. I think next week, guys, we'll have, unless this market drags out even longer, but obviously Odell would be big news whenever we get that news.
Yeah,
Bigger because of the name, but still.
He's 31 years old, coming off a big injury. Yeah. I mean, he was excellent on the Rams, but certainly the hype outweighs his likely production. But yeah, there'll be some interesting.
The workout videos, though, are amazing. Come on, you got to hand it to him. Yeah, it's the one hand.
The guy knows how to market.
So many.
We've been talking about Odell
catches.
In the free agent market for quite some time.
Yeah, 3 years. Most of the past 3 years.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World? Like, hey, we came to play. Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, before we get to the quarterbacks here, download the Roto-World app to receive breaking player news all season long. Stay ahead of the competition by favoriting players on your roster. Get the latest injury updates, player news, and much more delivered right to your phone. It's available in your app store today.
All for free.
All for free. Quarterbacks, guys. Baker Mayfield's second appearance of the show. He caught a drive-by stray from Jay to kick things off. So welcome back to the show. Baker Mayfield, a one-year, $8.5 million contract, up to $8.5 million contract. With the Bucks, Denny, I mean, he has still a decent supporting cast here with the Bucks. They've kept their wide receivers. We know the offensive line has some significant questions, but there are worse places for Baker Mayfield to land, despite Jay running the bus over the guy and then backing it up.
If you want someone to get the bus off of Baker, I'm the wrong guy. I talked on the Roto World Football Show last week about how bad Baker Mayfield was last year, not just with the Panthers, but he went to L.A. and you know, he was a little better, but he was still like bottom third in every conceivable category. So I don't see him being able to hold on to this starting job, even with the surrounding weapons. And who knows? I mean, is Mike Evans going to be on this roster in week one? I don't know. I mean, they could be dealing, trying to deal guys for rebuilding purposes. So I think Baker is probably going to start. Is he going to hold the job? I don't think so. I think Trask is eventually.
I think we can be quick here with this section overall quarterbacks. I'll just merely say I think it's about as good a landing spot for Baker's career as could have happened because again, at least at the moment, Godwin and Evans are there. He's somebody that has been good in the NFL at some points in his career. Obviously, it hasn't been that recently. But, yeah, not fantasy relevant. Like, even if he gets the job and remains, he doesn't run. We don't expect this to be, you know, an explosive offense. You know, he's a low-end QB2 that in the right matchup you might use in a bye week.
Barry, your Commanders signed Jacoby Brissett to a one-year, $10 million contract. We know they've said they'd like to see what Sam Howell has. We got to see Sam Howell at the end of last year. So Commanders training camp officially will enter the Brissett-Howell competition.
Yeah, and they Howell's going to be the guy, I think. You know, but I thought this was a good signing by the Commanders, but no fantasy relevancy. I don't think either guy is going to be fantasy relevant.
Do you think Ron Rivera is the kind of coach that will lean toward the veteran in Brissett and want to start him over Howell? I feel like it's right to me.
Right. So Brissett was really good last year.
He was good.
Like, you're 100% right.
Sounds a little weird.
Part of the what's interesting here is just take it to more of an NFL conversation, right? Is that the expectation is that the Commanders are going to be sold. Thank God. Soon, right? You know, there's been reports that the Snyders have actually cleared out the facility and that in your steering news, Magic Johnson has joined one of the, you know, the Josh Harris bid and that this sale could happen sooner than later. And so the question becomes if, like, a new owner comes in, basically probably says to Ron Rivera, you got 1 year. He got signed to a four-year deal. Mm-hmm. This is year four. It's been a, you know, Ron Rivera's had to deal with a lot of different things that most head coaches should never have to deal with. But you wonder if Ron Rivera's like feels like his job's on the line. You know, I think it depends on what the new owner says, like, hey, Ron, play the rookie. It's fine. Here's an extension. Like, we don't want you to be a lame duck coach. Then okay. But if it's sort of a prove-it year for Rivera, then, yeah, you feel like you've got a better chance to
probably
win with
Brissett.
By most advanced stats, last year, Jacoby Brissett was better than Aaron Rodgers. Jacoby Brissett had a really, really good season.
He really did. Underrated season.
He did. Yeah. No, I thought it was a really good signing by the Commanders, unless you're thinking of, like, look, they should either see what they have in Sam Howell this year, and if they don't have – Graham Barfield put this out on Twitter, and I thought this was smart, saying, like, see what you have in Sam Howell. And either you've either got something, and, wow, now you've got a rookie on a fifth-year deal or on a round five deal that you maximize that contract for the next couple of years, or – if you don't have anything in Sam Howell, you're going to be awful, and then you finally have a top 10 pick next year.
And a great quarterback class. It's going to be a great quarterback
class. And the problem with Jacoby Brissett is Jacoby Brissett's almost too good. Like, because Jacoby Brissett's good enough to get you to seven or eight wins. And get you in the middle of the pack once again, which is where they pick again this year.
Yep.
The Commanders have constantly been good enough to, like, not be able to pick a franchise quarterback, but bad enough that they can't get to the playoffs.
The rest of the roster's too good, though, whatever happens.
Defense, like,
it's
not.
Right, it's a really good defense. They have good skill players. Yeah. Like,
in
you know,
NFC
McLaurin and Dotson and Samuel. And
yeah, and an NFC that just doesn't scare you. They kind of are the kings of treading water right now, and which way are they going to go?
Yeah, they're in purgatory. And I do think that Brissett will start more games than Howell this year. That would be my bet.
One more here, guys.
But I don't know that either guy has fantasy value. It's more
probably
of an
not.
NFL discussion.
And speaking of no fantasy value, we talked about it before. Andy Dalton goes to the Panthers. Interesting. Two-year contract up to $11 million. $8 million in guarantees. Good deal for Dalton at this stage of his career. I think backing up a rookie in an offense that you kind of shrug, you're not really going to be crazy over. But Denny, it does give them some veteran stability in that room.
Well, hopefully they don't do what the Matt Nagy Bears did and start Andy Dalton over their incoming rookie, like Andy Dalton started over Justin Fields, and they said he is the QB1, and with a famous social media post that we will never forget. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But Andy Dalton actually wasn't bad last year in New Orleans. He was the middle of the road in a lot of advanced stats, and you could do worse as a backup for sure.
All right, guys, we're going to move on to tight ends here. Pretty lackluster quarterback movement over the last week. Tight ends, there has been some movement, though, and that starts with Dalton Schultz going to the Texans. Obviously had some big years with the Cowboys, played on the franchise tag last year. signs a one-year deal up to $9 million this year with the Texans. And an offense that we talked about, Barry, there are targets in this offense for whatever rookie ends up under center.
Texans last year, seventh in tight end targets. They were sixth in red zone targets to tight ends. Like, we saw moments there. Honestly, it's because they're tight end that they don't have the number one overall pick, you know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, he caught the touchdown. Aikens caught the touchdown. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's some targets here. Look, last year Dalton Schultz was tight end 10. He was tight end 9 on a points per game basis, and that feels right to me. Yeah. Like, you know, like he's a low end tight end 1, you know, and he'll get, he's solid, like, you know when you target, but if you kind of blow off tight end early and you leave your draft with Schultz as your number one tight end, I think you're fine.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the Texans' offense overall, like if they presumably get one of Stroud or Young, all of a sudden offensive line with Mason and Tunsil is not a disaster. We'll see what we get out of John Mechie. Nico Collins is potentially fine as a number two. Like the offense might be a lot more competent than in years past.
If you're not an elite tight end like a Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, you need two things. Massive route volume and target volume. I think Schultz can walk into that. Both of those things in probably what will be an improved Houston offense. So I think for PPR purposes, he could be kind of sneaky. Not inspiring, but sneaky.
Yeah, I agree with that. We'll see. I feel like they're not done in the wide receiver room. Like, probably I feel not. Like it's, you know, whether it's a draft pick or some of the notable free agents, you know, waiting for some other, maybe there's a post-June 1st cut or something like that. Yeah. But it feels like they'll get somebody on the cheap.
Another one-year deal here. The Patriots send out Jonnu Smith to the Falcons. Jay, they bring in Mike Gesicki, a true big-bodied slot receiver playing tight end, enters New England's offense. And this is how they kind of operate. They always have a player like this in their offense.
Very Patriots-y move. Yeah. Kind of annoying with Hunter Henry, and just you don't get that kind of clarity, because I think that if it was just one guy, then there would be some fantasy appeal. But, I mean, yeah, it's just going to be murky again and not particularly desirable. And also just an offense I think is pretty capped in terms of its ceiling, even though we think Mac Jones is going to be better. It's just there's just never going to be, with this current roster, I think a really high-flying offense with, you know, passing outs and touchdowns just flying around for everyone.
Because we couldn't close out the show, as you mentioned last week. You were with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady and friends.
Some people's calling it Tom Brady was with me.
This is true. Tom Brady and friends were with you.
Some people are saying that, not me. Certainly not.
It was.
No, he might be about Tom Brady. So this is Tom. This is Fournette calling a play, and this is Tom Brady. I mean, break this down for me, Connor. What are my draft prospects? I did not expect
this
to happen.
Like Brady's That's telling fast. You what route to run.
He's telling me. Gronk's he's telling back. Me not to let Gronk get me off the line.
Gronk with no press, no backpedal, and very, very mossing Gronk.
I thought he was going to hit you for a second.
And the Gronk spike on Gronk, and hear the crowd pop. The crowd pop on that. They were. That was kind of like your heel turn.
Right. Here's the play from a different angle as well. So Gronk is calling the play, but ultimately what's happening here is Fournette's designing the play. He's like, I want you to do an up and back on it. And then Brady's like, go to Gronk. And then Brady says to me, don't let him jam you off the line. I'm like, okay, yeah, I got it. And so I fake out the cameraman right there.
That's a
push him off.
That's
there
a quick you
go.
Switch.
Probably shouldn't have worn an Untuckit shirt, candidly. But break it down, Connor. What are my draft prospects?
You look real smooth off the line of scrimmage. Some are calling you a Davante Adams clone with that release package. Excellent at the catch point. You might be the next tight end for the Patriots.
Listen, I mean, I'm just saying, Tom Brady threw up a 50-50 ball between me and Gronk, and I came down with it.
Some are saying Tom Brady is a Matthew Berry merchant of receiving.
Well, what about the changing of the speeds right here?
Like, yeah, the
double move. Well, and then the push-off, the ref didn't call that. You know, he's kind of got a little OPI there. But
reminds me of Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, you're the new big dog. Yes, very Mercedes. I would comp you Mercedes Lewis, Davante Adams hybrid.
Yes.
That's what I would say. That's what I go
That's
with.
Fair.
Right, Danny?
That's fair.
Yeah, I think it's pretty spot on.
I mean, my efficiency, I'm one for, I mean, right?
And the double clutch catch.
It makes me wonder, when Tom comes back this year, probably to the Dolphins at some point, and he calls Edelman, he calls Gronk, he calls Fournette, and he calls Matthew Berry. calls those three, it gets out of news, and everybody's like,
we need you.
And he starts adding you. When is he calling Matthew Berry?
Yeah, I mean, it's a one-year prove it deal. I'm fine.
Mike McDaniel draws something up for you.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
Just manufacture the touches for me.
Yes. Jet sweep.
Your coach of the year, Mike McDaniel.
Right.
Yeah, we're gonna be challenged
exactly right. No, listen, Tom said, you know, let's stay in touch. And so, you know, I gave my number to one of his people to give to one of his people. And so we'll see. No, listen, honestly, thank you to Autograph. It was a great event. And so that was, it was part of the Autograph, the Huddle experience with Leonard Fournette, Gronk, and of course, Tom Brady, and I got to be the MC along with Buster Scher, who was also there. So it was an absolute amazing event. So thank you, Tom, for your graciousness, and to the Autograph family. Thank you to all of you guys. Listen, it's closing time. We'll be back next week. Denny Carter, thank you. Nice job. Well done.
Special
thank
guest.
You, guys.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For Jay and Connor, I'm Matthew. Peace out.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.